Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Tucker, WWL. I misspoke earlier. It's actually Cokie Riley joins us now, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. How you doing, Cokie?
Doing pretty well. How's it going?
Pretty good. LSU getting ready to get into the SEC part of the schedule here, the real SEC part of the schedule from here on in, other than Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky, nothing but SEC opponents. Tell me what your takeaways are from Saturday night.
Yeah, hard to take too many takeaways when you're playing a team that you're really overmatched against. But I thought Garrett Nussmeier looked much healthier. I thought the defense was doing what the defense does. And then they were able to push the ball a little bit more downfield with this offense. And I think Nussmeier, just looking a little bit more able to do that physically, it felt like that was a factor in this game, even though after the game he wouldn't answer any questions about his torso.
Did it seem as though the LSU offense got to clicking a little bit? Because that's what they were trying to strive for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're pushing the ball a little bit more downfield, the run game was kind of up and down throughout the game, but they were able to be pretty aggressive and fairly successful on deeper throws. And, you know, that's been a weakness of the offense through the first three games.
So when it comes to running the ball, it all goes to the big uglies up front, as Keith Jackson would say?
It's a little bit of that. I thought Weston Davis, the right tackle, had a pretty rough game. Some of it's what's going on at running back, where Caden Durham suffered an ankle injury during the Southeastern game, which meant a little bit more, some more carries for Juwan Johnson, the number two back. He actually played pretty well, but Durham didn't necessarily. So now it's not just the offensive line. Part of it's the running backs hitting the right holes.
So tell me about the LSU defense.
Yeah, I mean, they were just utterly dominant once again. They gave up 10 points, but that was usually when the second stringers were in. Before that, it was almost lucky if Southeastern got a first down. Like, it was hard for them to do really much of anything against this LSU defense that, quite frankly, is one of the best units in the country.
Yeah, 30 yards of offense at halftime, I think it is, for Southeastern. Tell me about Ole Miss. Ole Miss had a somewhat easy time of it with Tulane. Tell me about what LSU's going to be walking into.
Yeah, it's just a good old Ole Miss offense where they're going to spread the ball out offensively in the passing game. They're going to run the ball quite often and do it fairly effectively with these, pretty wide and spread out formations. Like I mentioned, Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback. We're not sure who the quarterback's going to be, because Austin Simmons, who was supposed to be the starter to begin this season, has been dealing with an ankle injury the last couple weeks. And Chambliss has come in and has played really good ball, as you saw against Tulane and as you saw against Arkansas. So they haven't skipped the beat despite playing the backup. So that's going to be kind of a storyline to watch throughout the whole week.
Tell me about the Ole Miss defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, they're not quite as effective as they were last year when they had tons of guys who were NFL bound. But Ole Miss's defense, they dominated the game this past week against Tulane, Jake Retzlaff, the two-lane quarterback, I don't think he completed a pass in the first half. I think Suntarine Perkins is still there. But I think overall LSU should be able to, handle this Ole Miss defense, because I don't think it's the same unit that they had last year, which it was a really, really strong group. Despite the Tulane score, I mean, Arkansas was able to put up points on the board against them. Granted, Arkansas has a pretty darn good offense, but I think the weakness of this Ole Miss team is their defense.
What is the strength of the Ole Miss team?
It's definitely this offense. I really think that Trinidad Chambliss and Austin Simmons, whoever they get at quarterback, is going to give LSU probably the biggest challenge it's seen so far on defense so far this season. And it's a classic Lane Kiffin offense. They can spread the ball out in the passing game. They run the ball quite often. There's usually some sort of tempo to go along with it as well. But if you can stop them on first down, it makes life a lot more difficult for them, because that's when you're forcing, third and longs, and you're forcing their quarterbacks to get into deeper progressions. And when they're forced to, make plays on deeper progressions, things can sometimes sort of fall apart, because it's very much a reaction offense. I wouldn't even call it a read and react offense, where, the answer, the easy buttons are kind of there for you, quite often, just through the system itself. And, if you're putting pressure on the quarterback and you're forcing those third and longs, it makes life a little bit more difficult for him.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Koki Alexander, the LSU beat writer for the Advocate. We'll take a break, come back. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Apologies to Koki Riley. I don't know where I got Alexander from. LSU beat writer for the Advocate. Koki, let's talk about the AP Top 25 and Koki's Top 25. Differences?
Not the top nine. I kept my top nine the same this week. I debated about moving a couple teams a little bit, but there was a lot of teams off this past week for whatever reason. So I think a lot of the changes came from 10 through 20, heck, 10 through 25, really, but... you look at Indiana moving way up. You're looking at Texas Tech moving way up because of big wins this past week. There's a lot of consternation inside of myself, I should say, about what to do with a Florida State and an Alabama after Auburn had a pretty strong performance despite losing, and trying to figure out what to do with Tennessee after getting another week away from, their pretty crazy game against Georgia. There was a lot of movement in the teams this week. Not a lot going on in the top nine or 10.
So LSU is going to find out who their three regular opponents are, I think, tomorrow or today.
Tomorrow. Today's
tomorrow.
Monday, so tomorrow.
Who do you think they're likely to be?
I think they're going to get Ole Miss. I think they're going to get Texas A&M. And after the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third spot is a little bit less clear, but if I had to guess, it's going to be Alabama or Arkansas. It's one of those two.
So tell me again, go back, recap.
Yeah. So Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Alabama or Arkansas. It's one of those. It's going to be one of those last two for the last spot. And it's going to kind of depend on what they want to do with Alabama. Do they want to have Alabama play Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU as the three constants every single year? Or do they want to drop LSU? Because they're not going to drop Tennessee, and they're definitely not going to drop Auburn. And have LSU play Arkansas every year instead.
Would Alabama pick up instead of LSU?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it kind of depends. I kind of have to go through every other team and see what that would look like. It would be someone who is traditionally not as quite as difficult as LSU. Mm-hmm. Maybe Vanderbilt. It just kind of depends on, you know, who needs what at that point. But that's kind of the argument for the Arkansas side, even though LSU probably is technically a bigger rival with Alabama. But again, you know, these things are kind of tough for LSU because they don't really have a natural rival or a couple of natural rivals.
I think Alabama's developed in a rival. And you go to that Coke commercial, not that that proves anything. I think it's a Coke commercial. Would LSU prefer not to have Alabama every year?
I think LSU fans want it to happen. And like you said, that, you know, it's become a pretty big rivalry for at least the LSU side. The mm-hmm. problem is it's like Alabama's third biggest rivalry. And does the SEC want to loop Alabama with, you know, three pretty tough games traditionally every single year? That's mm-hmm. That's the question. It's not whether they're rivals or not. I think they are. It's like they're the third biggest rival for Alabama because the Tennessee rivalry has more history to it, if we're being honest here. A longer history. And we're talking, you know, like 40, 50, 60 mm-hmm. years sort of thing. And the Auburn rivalry is the Auburn rivalry. So, like, it's kind of tough for LSU if you want to see that LSU-Bama game every year. And honestly, that's what I want to see personally as a college football fan.
And you got other schools that you got to weave in there too as well, who might consider themselves a rival of Alabama. Thank you, Cokie. I appreciate it. Cokie Riley, LSU beat writer for The Advocate. When we come back, it's time to talk to Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. Financial insights you can count on with Jason Fields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We're going to talk with him today about some very valuable financial information, specifically as it relates to withdrawing from your retirement savings. Some valuable information coming up. Stay tuned. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Osan. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Time for a Bank on It, financial insights you can count on, with Jason Shields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And with that, we welcome in Jason Shields. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good, Tommy. It's autumn in New Orleans, right?
It is autumn. It is autumn in New Orleans. And if you've missed it, we already played that at 6:10 to get the day going. It's a tradition, and we did it and got it out of the way. Let's talk about people getting their retirement out of the way before they should. And Generation Zers, what is this, 46% have already tapped their retirement savings?
Yeah, Tommy, this is a shocking stat that I kind of wanted to go over with everyone this morning. So 46% of Gen Z has already tapped into their retirement savings. And just so everyone in the audience knows, Gen Z caps out at 28 years old. So these are people who are in those super early days of their savings for retirement. And that's when your money's really going to have the most full impact, right? And so, you know, I really wanted to talk about
by having
that.
Most impact,
years,
Jason,
but,
by having most impact, you mean it's going to have time to grow, right, if you leave it there?
Yeah, it is. And so a couple of examples I kind of wanted to run through. Let's just say, you know, you're a Gen Zer and you pull $5,000 out today. Now, because you're not 59 and a half years old, that money is going to first come with a 10% penalty right off the bat. So $500 of your $5,000 is gone. Done. And then presuming you're in a 22% income tax bracket, then you get taxed on that as if it was income, which is another $1,100. So that $5,000 that you took out of your retirement account actually ends up being about $3,400 or 68% of what you had actually put in there. Now, that's an interesting number, but I think the more shocking number is what would have happened had you just left the money in there? And so $5,000 in your 20s, assuming a 7% growth number, which is the general, you know, benchmark that you would say you'd have over time, would actually be $75,000 when you retire, right? Mm. So that $5,000 actually cost you $70,000 in the end. Now, I know that's it's a very broad example, but I think it shows the power of what your money can do over time. But more importantly, your savings, your retirement savings should always be something that you take as an incredible last resort. It should be something horrible that's happening that you need to take this money from, because the time value of that money is going to be impactful over time.
Talk about time value of money, if you will, for people that don't know.
Yeah, so Jason, that 7% number sounds really great. Where the heck does that come from, right? And so it's a general benchmark that they use when it comes to retirement savings. So in general, what you'll see in the market over time is a 10% annual growth number. Now, we've talked about this many times on the radio. You also have a 2 to 3% inflation rate. So 7% is in essence saying this is the growth that your money will have over time. And then this is the you're going to factor out that inflation growth, because a lot of people like to say that, right? Well, if I save $50 today, it's not really $50 when you retire. And that's true. That's true. But when you consider the growth typically offsets that that inflation number, every dollar you save now will actually be impactful. And so I like to use the example with the younger folks that I talk to about $50 a week, right? That's not a huge number, but it is and not to make light of anyone's situation, $50 is a lot of money. But if you look at if you have a fancy lunch or Starbucks, $50 a week is an attainable number if you can make some life adjustments. So let's just say you start in Gen Z, $50 a week. Now, over time, what you're going to see is you're going to see that number can become huge. Over 40 years, if you just do $50 a week, no other adjustments based on any increases in salary or anything like that, it comes up to $550,000.
Now, wow.
Not exactly a number that you could retire on, but I will absolutely take $550,000 for skipping some Starbucks and some lunches.
You know, and the paradox here... I'm sorry, Jason. I just wanted to jump in. The paradox here is that it seems like $50 a week is nothing. You think, well, what good is that going to do me when I retire? But the paradox is the earlier you put it in, the more it's going to be worth, right?
It is. It is. And if at all possible, don't touch those funds, right? Mm-hmm. Especially the younger folks, right? I encourage anyone younger listening to have a conversation with an older person and talk about their retirement, right? And perhaps it's someone who may have touched that money before and realize what that impact is, because it when you're young and you have discretionary income, it can be incredibly impactful. And so a couple benchmarks that are out there in the industry, these are broad statements, Tommy, but I like to kind of put them out there for the audience. At 30 years old, you should have about one time your salary in your retirement fund. So that's a relatively easy number to get to. And then 40, that goes to 3 times, 50, 6 times. Ultimately, when you retire, one of those benchmarks that I would say is 10 times your annual salary. And when you consider the compounding effect of your investments over time, those numbers seem incredibly hard to achieve, right? We've all had those moments in our career where someone showed us one of those retirement little wheels that says this is how much money you should have, and we laugh because those numbers seem so far out of reach and so impossible to achieve. But the reality is little things that you ultimately kind of forget about will ultimately make the difference. We like to use the thing, rule of 72, the technical term, right? But here's, at 7% annual return, your money doubles every 10 years, right? So you can see how those benchmarks are relatively easy to achieve over time, because every 10 years, your money is going to double at a 7% return. And you start talking about some real money there, Tommy.
It's important also to pay yourself first, right, Jason? So you never even see it if you're going to get into some good saving habits.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, if you do it right, you don't even notice it. And every time you just you get a salary increase, you know, just adjust that number accordingly. And just don't look at it. It's the best advice I can get, especially if you're early in your career. Just put the money in there. Don't even worry about it. Honestly, if you're young, you hope the market goes down because that means you're buying more stock when it will eventually go up.
And for people that have 401ks, talk about matching, if you will, because that's doubling your money already, right?
Yeah. So something that not a lot of people take full advantage of is the matching of an employer to a 401k, right? Most employers who offer those 401ks, they will match up to a certain percentage amount, 3%, 5%. Whatever that is. And I always encourage anyone, if you can afford it, you need to max that number out because that is basically your employer giving you free money into your retirement account. Now, those usually come with a couple handcuffs like vesting. So you have to be there for X number of years. But, you know, I'm one of those people who, Tommy, if I got a card that gives me 3% and one that gives me 2%, I know which one I'm pulling out every time because I like free money. So
who does? It's
important for folks. And I wanted to touch extremely briefly on Social Security because I think that's a topic for another day, but it's something that the young people, I get two different ends of the spectrum when I talk to young folks about this. One says, oh, it's fine. Social Security will allow me to retire. I don't need to save. That's a horrible statement. Don't do that. But then I also have the other side of the coin where I have young people who say, I don't know why I pay Social Security because it won't be there when I retire. You can, like anything, you could toss out the two extremes and something in the middle will happen, right? Mm-hmm. We know if nothing changes, 2034, 2035, the fund that runs is going to run out of money. That doesn't mean the program goes away. It's not the end of days. But what it does mean is those Social Security benefits are probably going to get cut in some way, shape, or form unless something's done. So what I tell everyone is don't rely on Social Security, but also don't dismiss it, right? Retirement's a broad plan of multiple things, and you have to think that you're going to get something out of it. The program is just not going to go away. So everyone should consider that when they're talking about it. And then real briefly, another stat that I saw out there is there's only about 50% of private employers who offer 401ks. So half of your listeners right now are going to say, well, that's great, Jason, but my employer doesn't offer me a 401k. There are plenty of options that everyone can do that will have the same effect, right? Traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs, SEP IRAs. There's a plethora of retirement options out there. So if someone listening happens to be with an employer who doesn't offer a plan, I encourage them to just talk to a banker, talk to a financial planner, and just kind of get it going, right? Get that $50 a week into those accounts and they can start building some equity into their retirement.
Did you say the end of days?
You know, you bring up Social Security in conversations with people as a banker, Tommy, and you get some interesting conversations.
The end of days. There you go. As foretold in prophecy, the end of days when Social Security runs out. How can people find out more about Gulf Coast Bank and Trust?
Yeah, come visit any of our branches, Tommy, or just go to gulfbank.com. I encourage everyone to just have this conversation. Understand it's never a sales pitch. It's really just working to do something small that'll help you in the long run.
And avoid the end of days. Thank you, Jason. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.